الله الله
إيدر
القابض الباسط الخافض الرافع المعز المذل السميع البصير الحكيم.
You're listening to Eidars.com.
الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا. من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له. ونشهد أن سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. وما آتاكم الرسول فخذوه وما نهاكم عنه فانتهوا. صدق الله العظيم. سبحانك لا علم لنا إلا ما علمتنا إنك أنت العليم الحكيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. دروشي بلنا. Respected brothers, respected elders, mothers and sisters listening at home, continuing from our last session of Darsi Hadith, Constantinople is a city which is naturally fortified, a difficult terrain to conquer. Muslims had been dreaming for centuries for the fulfillment of the prophecy of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, whereby Allah's Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had given a guarantee to his companions, لَتُفْتَحُنَّ الْقُسْطُنْتُونِيَةِ, that for sure Constantinople will be conquered. And so many rulers came, many kings came with this ambition that they would conquer Qusthuntunia. After 8 centuries, subhanallah, when during the Ottoman Empire Sultan Murad was the king and he decided to relinquish his throne to his son. When he got old, he decided that the last phase of his life, he wanted to spend that in the path of Allah, worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And so he decided that now the throne should be passed over to his son, who was only at that time 12 years of age. Now he had all the confidence in his child. The father had provided all the education and had equipped him with everything that one would want. Now this man had memorized the entire Quran by the age of 12. He was well versed in fiqh, in hadith, spoke many languages. This child could speak French, Spanish, Serbian, Farsi, Arabic, Hebrew, Latin. Now these are not Muslim historians writing about him, but subhanallah, even the non-Muslims have written about this individual in this manner. So the son Sultan Muhammad takes charge at the age of 12. And he was under the tutelage of the Wali of Allah, whose name was Sheikh Shamsuddin. And so Sheikh Shamsuddin was very confident also, like his father. Now when this child took Khilafat, as in responsibility, what had happened is that the Crusaders were amassing this massive army towards the Islamic borders. Now being 12 years of age, he understood that maybe this was a psychological advantage for the Crusaders, thinking that their leader is a very young child, 12 years of age. So there is a possibility that this would be a disadvantage for the Muslims. And so he was extremely intelligent. What he did now is that he invited his father back to the throne, that come back and look after your people. Despite the fact that the father had all the confidence in him, the father understood the sensitivity that was there and took on his position again as the king, Sultan Murad, the Ottoman Empire. And mashallah, the first thing he did is that he defended the borders and defeated the crusaders. And he took charge for another 10 years. After 10 years, when this great man, this pious man, Sultan Murad, they would call him Sultan Murad the Lion. What would they call him? Sultan Murad the Lion. People were scared of him. He was a powerful man. Not only was he powerful, even his father was a powerful man. And so when he passed away, then obviously now you have this young blood, Sultan Muhammad, that becomes the king, the Sultan during the Ottoman Empire, the seventh ruler of the Ottoman dynasty. And mashallah, full of talent, very mature now, and a man who had acquired all the skills in military warfare with the experience also taken from his father. Now at the age of 22, he was young and fit to take charge. There was no question about him being too young. But remember, he only gave this invitation to his father because of the massive army that was there of the crusaders. And so he felt that it would be better for someone like his father to be in charge. Now when Sultan Muhammad Fatih takes charge, the only thing that is stuck to his mind is to conquer Constantinople. That is all. Now his Sheikh Shamsuddin had told him that I see that possibly the Basharat, the glad tidings given in the hadith of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, that surely Qustuntunya will be conquered, and the leader will be the best leader, and the army will be the best army. I feel that possibly this honor is reserved for you. Now the Sheikh said that, and he also wanted that privileged position, of course, to be awarded by that honor of the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And in a way, that was Basharat of Jannah. So Sultan Muhammad, sleeping, eating, walking, talking, whatever he would do, it was all about Constantinople, all about taking on Constantinople, opening Constantinople. And the first mission taken by him, a very intelligent man, he wanted to take the complete control of the Straits of Bosphorus. The Straits of Bosphorus. Now what he did is that he said to his men that I want you to build a fort right at the mouth at the Straits of Bosphorus, and then another fort to the opposite. Now this Bosphorus, the Strait of Bosphorus, is a line. One end of it is towards the Sea of Marmara, which is towards Istanbul, and the other side is towards the Black Sea. And then from the Straits of Bosphorus, you have the Golden Horn, which today is the harbor of Istanbul. So that takes you inside. But to take control of that stretch was very important. So what he did, he said to his people, 700 men, and he said to them, in 3 months, I want a garrison, a fort to be built here, on one side and on the other side. So every ship that enters would be scrutinized by the Muslims there. And so the people there said to him, Sultan Muhammad, in 3 months, this is mission impossible. Now the issue with Sultan Muhammad was that he does not accept the word impossible. His yaqeen was upon Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And he said no. The genius that he was, he actually designed the fort, and he physically worked with the people, and 700 men were working round the clock, day and night, to complete this fort. And obviously, with this activity on one side, this was sending signals to Constantine that perhaps now the Muslims want to conquer Constantinople. And so what he did, Constantine wrote to the Pope, at that time Pope Nicholas V, that I need more reinforcements, come and help me. Already now this was the right time for the Muslims to take charge. Why? There was also ikhtilaf, disunity amongst the Christians. You had the Catholic Christians in one camp, and you had the Orthodox Christians in another camp. And there was ikhtilaf between them also. So Constantine now writes to the Pope that send some men to help us, because this time this army looks huge. And it is also going to be difficult to save this zone, the entire area. Subhanallah, within 3 months. And billahi, this is the karamat of Sultan Muhammad Fatih. It is impossible for someone to carry out such works in the Straits of Bosphorus, to come up with a garrison, a fort on both sides in 3 months. And so once the forts were made, that means now the Ottoman Empire and the Muslim army has got the control of the Straits of Bosphorus. So this is one lead that is taken, alhamdulillah. And now Sultan Muhammad, very meticulous man. There were still a lot of Muslims who were working at that time in Constantinople. Just like today you have Muslims that live in Israel. That live in Israel and actually work in Israel. So you have a lot of Muslims that are there even in Israel today. So at that time you had Muslims that were working in Constantinople. Now Sultan Muhammad was a very intelligent man. What he did is that he started using the Muslims that were working in Constantinople, and he invited them and he would meet them, those that were trustworthy, and he said, what I want you to do is inform me with regards to the infrastructure of the city. First tell me with regards to the height of the walls and the layers of the walls, and the strength of the wall, and how deep the water is at all sides, and where the army is situated. And so they would come, the Muslims, and they would give information to Sultan Muhammad. And so Sultan Muhammad, in front of him, he had this map of Qusطنطنية during the time of Constantine, what to do and what not to do. And so he had this map, but again, Sultan Muhammad was very meticulous, and he knew that before him, for 8 centuries in the past, Muslims have attempted. They did come to conquer Qusطنطنية, but they were not successful. And he didn't want to make any wrong move. And so look at this man, how brave this man was. He himself decided to go for a reconnaissance mission. A reconnaissance mission. And he said, I myself will want to go inside Qusطنطنية, and I want to see with my own eyes the walls and the army of this man. And so he disguised himself well, just like a normal individual working in Constantinople. And all alone, Sultan Muhammad, the king, Fatih, the young man, 22 years of age, he succeeds in entering into Constantinople. Allahu Akbar. And he goes inside and he stays there and he looks at the walls, measuring everything, looking at the strength and the layers of the walls, and also how deep the water is, looking at the army structure, which is the weak side, which is the section which is heavily fortified and looked after. And so all the information was collated, taken, and after a few days with success, again he comes out. And now, mashallah, he's there. Now already he had threatened Constantine, the crusaders at that time. And so what he did is that he besieged Qusطنطنية by land and also by sea. What did he do? He besieged the entire area by land and by sea. Now by sea, it was done through 400 ships with 20,000 navy personnel. 400 ships and 20,000 navy personnel. Subhanallah, all around Qusطنطنية. And by land, he had a group of mujahideen that would number in total 80,000. So you had 80,000 on one side, you had 400 ships, that were looked after by 20,000 Navy personnel, all experienced. And then finally he said, I want to make a meeting, all of you, all the commanders and the people in charge. And he said, this is a meeting that I have to speak with everybody, do some mashwara. And he did mashwara and he said that I've been inside and I feel that it will be impossible for us to break the walls of Qustuntunia. It will be impossible for us to break the walls of Qustuntunia. But nothing is impossible if Allah makes it possible. This man was a man of karamat. Nothing is impossible if Allah makes it possible. And so he had individuals that would make weapons for him. So he said that I want you to call those that make cannons for the Ottoman Empire. Those who make cannons. And so an entire team of Muslims that were making cannons, they came. And he said that what I want you to do for me is to make for me an 18 gauge cannon. An 18 gauge cannon. So all of them started laughing at Sultan Muhammad Fateh. And he said, with all respect, you know, you are the Sultan, but 18 gauge cannon is no way to be seen in the world. The largest cannon is a 12 gauge cannon. How can we do an 18 gauge cannon for you? And how will you take that cannon towards the walls of Qustuntunia? Sultan Muhammad said, that is not your responsibility. How I take and what I do, that is up to me. What I want you to do, and I don't take no for an answer, is to make for me an 18 gauge cannon. And they said, 18 gauge cannon. He said, you have to do it. And the genius that he was, he said, what I will do is I will design the cannon for you and you make the cannons for me. Allahu Akbar. This man had studied everything. Kehte na, harfan maula. Kya kehte? Harfan maula. He was a harfan maula. He was a wali of Allah also. And he said, this is the design you must do, an 18 gauge cannon. All of the people that were there, they said, okay, fine. And they came to him and they said, Sultan, we have one request. He said, we can do it for you, but we know a man who is very experienced in making cannons. And he's not a Muslim. He's a Hungarian. And his name is Orban. What is his name? Orban. So Sultan Muhammad said, go and get Orban, the Hungarian. He said, it's not as easy as that. They said to him, and he said to him that, Hazrat, he is in the prison. Constantine has put him in prison in Constantinople. So where is Orban? In the prison in Constantinople, in Istanbul, at that time. Sultan Muhammad said, well, we have to conquer. And if we want to conquer and break the walls, we will take him out from the prison. Imagine that. We will take him out from the prison. Look at the bravery, look at the commitment, look at the yaqeen this young soldier had upon Allah. But the words of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wasallam, 8 centuries back, subhanallah. And we are getting closer and closer and closer to it. And so what he did again, he decided that he wanted to call his individuals that were working in Constantinople, the Muslims that were there, and he gave him information that even if you need to pay someone to tip him off, find out where this man is, Orban, which part, in which prison. And alhamdulillah, information was given to Sultan Muhammad that the prison is actually not very far away from where the army is. And it's not in the central area where it would be difficult. So it's quite towards the side of Constantinople. Constantinople. So now Sultan Muhammad decides, he said the only way out is to dig an underground tunnel. And so they decided to dig an underground tunnel. And that tunnel actually opened up into the prison. And these mujahideen went into the prison and they broke into his cell. They seized him, grabbed him, and took him away, and took him down again under the tunnel, and they took him out, and they presented this urban chap in front of Sultan Muhammad Fateh. Oh, subhanallah. Subhanallah, what a man he was. And so, Sultan Muhammad said to him, that what I offer you is freedom. What I offer you is freedom. A lot of time has been taken to take you out. A lot of risk. And so what I offer you is freedom, but in return what I want you to do for me is to help the team to make an 18 gauge cannon. And he said to Sultan Muhammad, I am more than happy to help you and assist you. The way he was treated in the prison. And so now subhanallah, a cannon is made. Now, in the books of history it is said that it took 700 men to move this cannon from one area to another area, to push it, 700 men. The cannon ball would weigh 300 kilos. Amen. The world has not seen a weapon like this. 18 gauge cannon, 300 kilos, and when it is fired, it would travel the distance of 1 mile. And that's a lot, 1 mile coming out from a cannon. And it would take 2 hours to load that cannonball into the cannon. And so now the Muslims had an artillery of 200 cannons. Kitne? 200 cannons. So you have 80,000 men, 20,000 men looking after the navy. And also now you have this unique weapon. Weapons of mass destruction, should I say. Weapons of mass destruction perhaps would be the right word at that time, because that was the technology, subhanallah. And Sultan Muhammad came with this technology, 18 gauge cannon, and 200 of it. 700 men were lifting it, and they pointed it towards Qustantunia. And now what he decided, he said to the men that even now, it's not right for us to enter into Qustantunia. What had happened is that the Golden Horn is the harbor of Istanbul even today. And so the crusaders, what they did is that they blocked that entire opening of the Golden Horn by this huge, gigantic iron chain in the water. So that would prevent any kind of movement or any sea fleets to enter the Golden Horn, to enter the Golden Horn. And so it was chained up and they had the complete control. Subhanallah al-Azim. They had the complete control. Now what to do? Muslims were desperate. Sultan Muhammad Fateh knew that the only way to succeed is to actually get towards the Golden Horn. So he had the control of the Straits of Bosphorus, but that was off. The Golden Horn was actually off the Straits of Bosphorus. So how do you go into the Golden Horn? And this was again mission impossible. Pope Nicholas V had come with reinforcements. So you had an entire army also there looking after that section. So the gates were opened up for him, but not for the Muslims. Now subhanallah, even the enemies of Islam, historians like Gibbon, has said that this was nothing but a miracle from Sultan Muhammad Fateh. What he decided that in one night, you have the Golden Horn. It's a pity, inshallah, next time we can have a map so that you have an indication what we are trying to cover. So on one side, you had land, the shore, and this stretch was known as the district of Galata, the district of Galata. It was a short stretch. So what he said, I want you to make for me a makeshift track. And so overland, that track would have oil on it. And so in the night, he wanted to transport 67 ships across from the land going into the Golden Horn. Now can you imagine that? In one night, he said, this is what I want you to do. You know, like you have train tracks. And so it's easy for the train to move. So he said, whatever you do, I want you to do a makeshift track for me. And so whatever, however it is, design it for me. And so from the Straits of Bosphorus, going inland, because remember you can't use the water because it's got iron chains there. So he said, make like a bridge on land. And there was a short stretch which is known as the district of Galata. The district of Galata. And so like a little bridge of tracks was made, and everything was oiled. And so in one night, 67 ships entered into the Golden Horn. In one night. Imagine that, my respected brothers. So on one side, Sultan Muhammad kept them occupied, warning them as if there's a possibility that the Muslims will attack from one side. And so the entire army was facing towards that side, whilst from the back, Muslim ships had entered into the Golden Horn. Subhanallah. And when the people of Constantinople woke up in the morning to see their harbor, Subhanallah, their harbor from one side to another side completely filled with Sultan Muhammad's sea fleet, they were demoralized. They didn't know what to do. Allahu Akbar. What an achievement. Every historian has written that no man in history has done anything like what Sultan Muhammad had committed himself to. And this was only his karamat, with the cannons, with seizing Orbit from the prison, and then making this makeshift track, allowing the ships to enter overland. And then they would enter straight into the Golden Horn, and then slowly taking charge of the city. Subhanallah, this is the karamat of this young man, Sultan Muhammad, at the age of 22. Inshallah ta'ala, if Allah wills, we will continue in our next session as to how Sultan Muhammad enters into Qustuntunia. وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم تقبل منا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم نستغفرك ونتوب إليك سمعنا وأطعنا غفرانك ربنا وإليك المصير برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.